Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
Well, it's 11 after 7 right here on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. It's almost time for me to speak to Apostle Robert Nyalungu from the Global Business Roundtable. I'm not sure if he's already still on the line. Let me just check. Apostle, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Kunjani ba?
Yeah,
right. Let's do it over again. Let's start it again. Let's do it again, Baba. Let's start it from top.
Molo.
It's a molo. Molo.
It's
our impact. Sharp, man.
Okay, so.
Yeah, if you can greet our listener at home, please.
Yes. Greetings to dear listeners of Radio Pulpit. This is your one and only Apostle Nyalungu, back on the air by the courtesy of the Global Business Roundtable and my good friend, Godfrey.
Thank you very much, Apostle. That's Apostle Joseph Nyalungu here, there, right here on the Pulpit, your daily companion. Apostle, we're continuing with what we started two weeks back again.
Yeah, last week.
Very, very important topic indeed.
Yes, good. We're really talking about, I would say in simple, we said that Jesus revealed. But we were really talking about who is Jesus, who is he, you know, because it's important that we get a revelation of who is he. Now, we know that he knows himself, and there's no one who knows himself like God knows himself. This is why when you read throughout the book of John, he said, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. And we know that name, I Am, is the name that God revealed when Moses asked him in Exodus chapter 3, when God appeared to Moses in a burning bush, and the bush was burning and not being consumed. And that sight, you know, captured Moses. He said, what is this? Because it was something supernatural. It was something beyond the natural that, you know, captured his attention. And he said, I will go and see. What is this? Which was a sign. And when Moses made a decision to go and see this, he had a voice coming from the burning bush, which was in flames. And the voice said, Moses, Moses. So Moses had the voice of God calling him from this miraculous sign that he saw. And we know the rest of the story in Exodus chapter 3, how God spoke to Moses, how he had come down. And God was sending Moses to deliver his people. And Moses asked the question, he said, who must I say has sent me? And the Lord responded and said, I am who I am. And if you go into the Hebrew text of what God said, in essence was, I am he who was and is to come. Now here we are, we find Jesus saying, I am. And that's the reason why the Pharisees and the Sadducees wanted to stone him. Because he was saying, I'm God. I'm God himself. Now, Paul tells us in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, he says, God was manifested in the flesh, seen by angels. Now, that really for me is something else, because it then says there are angels who didn't see God. We didn't see the face of God. Now, in Matthew chapter 18, Joshua said there are angels that see the face of God, the angels of this little ones. But in that text, Paul tells us that he was seen by angels. And the reason the angels saw him was because he was coming to rescue mankind. So you can see how important man is to God, that God was manifested in the flesh, came as a man. So this is Emmanuel, as prophesied by Isaiah, who said, God with us. So God was with us, God who was among us. And I love what Paul says in Hebrews chapter 3, because he says he doesn't give aid to angels. Now remember, angels also sinned. First Peter chapter 2, he says angels sinned. So he's not coming to save angels. He's coming to save man, mankind, you and me. Why? Because you and me were created in the image and the likeness of God. In essence, we were created, and that word image means the nature of God. We were created by God to be like him, to function like him, so you can see the premium or the value God places on man. Therefore, he comes as a man. And God, he says that statement. He says, I am. He says, before Abraham was, I am. Now, that's a very, very, no one has ever made such claim, not even any of the prophets. Now, when Yeshua asked the question, when Jesus asked this question, and he said, who do men say I am? In Matthew chapter 16, they said, some said you are Elijah, some say you are Jeremiah, some say you are one of the prophets. So they associated him with the prophet. You remember the story of the Samaritan woman? She said, I perceive you are a prophet. But the story did not end there. Because if you go on with that story, Yeshua said, I'm the gift of God. Had you known who is it that is asking you of water, you would have asked me, and I will give you the living waters. So the woman ended up getting the revelation that this is not a prophet. This is the Messiah. Because she said, when the Messiah comes, and Jesus said, I love the story. He said, he that speaks to you is the Messiah. Now we know that the Messiah is the Son of God, which means he's God himself. So it is this reason why when you read in John chapter 5, that they wanted to kill him. They said he's blasphemy because he was calling God his Father. He says, I am the Father of one. He says, if you do not believe what I'm saying, look at the works I do. And we do know that, Godfrey, that no one did the works that he had done. I mean, at some point they say, have you ever heard of a man born blind whose eyes were open? Who has ever opened the eyes of a man born blind? Mm. None of the prophets. We can look at Elijah. We can look at Jeremiah.
What could be the reason for them not noticing who he really is? Because now when you read the entire Old Testament, I think it was going to be very easy for them had they been reading the Bible. They would be able to notice that he's the one that is supposed to come. Had they been, if maybe they were not reading, if they were reading the Bible, was it the reason behind that? Maybe they were not reading the Bible or the Torah. That's why they couldn't even know him or notice him or identify him when he was just living amongst them.
Godfrey, when you read the book of Acts, it says they were reading the scriptures. Remember that day in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, he got into the temple. The Bible says, as his custom was. And he read from the book of Isaiah. And the specific text that he read from is the one that Isaiah said, he's the anointed one, he's the Messiah. And when he read that scripture, he said, this scripture today is fulfilled in your hearing. The original word saying, I am who this scripture, I am who Isaiah was saying. And that's why they wanted to kill him, because he was saying, I'm the Messiah. Yet they were waiting for him, and he told them, I am he. Now, one time they said to him, he asked them, he said, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And they said, who are you? He says, the one I've been telling you. Now, one of the things they missed is very interesting, because they knew the Torah. They read Moses. Actually, if you read in the book of John, and I just want to read here briefly, listen to what they said. They sent Pharisees, they sent Sadducees to John. Now, this was John preaching. And they asked him a simple question. Are you the Messiah? Are you the prophet? So they were waiting for that prophet that Moses said, a prophet like unto me. Now, I preached at church and I said, one of the ways they should have identified him, a prophet like Moses, what is it that characterizes the ministry of Moses? Signs, wonders, and miracles. So they should have gone back and said, there's never been a prophet like this one. Actually, the prophet that came before them, before Jesus, was John. He did no signs. He did no miracles. But everything that he said about Jesus was true. So they didn't even receive the testimony of John. John even testified when he saw him. He says, this is the one. And you see, that's where the problem was, is that they were expecting him to come from the Pharisees, from the sect, from a religious leader. And he didn't come the way they wanted him to come. And therefore, they denied him. I mean, in one argument, they said, we know this man is a sinner. The blind man said, I don't know whether he's a sinner or not, but what I know is I was blind and now I see. They said, no, we know the Messiah, when he comes, he'll come from Bethlehem. But he was born in Bethlehem. You see, so they missed it. And I believe one of the reasons they missed it, and we shouldn't miss it, is a religious spirit. It's a spirit that blinded them to see who he was. But they had the proof. I mean, here's an interesting thing when they sent the Pharisees to John and asked him who he was. And I'm reading First John. He says, now, this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? Verse 20. He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Messiah. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? Because remember, they were expecting Elijah to come back. And he said, I'm not. They said, are you the prophet? And he said, I'm not the prophet that Moses spoke about. But Yeshua came, and he didn't even need the testimony of man. Because the works that he did, and this is what he said. He said, the works that I do, they testify of who I am. And if you don't believe me, believe the works then. Because the works are a proof. They are a manifestation, because even God bore witness of him. Remember when John baptized him, the voice came from heaven. Say, this is my beloved son. We don't hear that voice saying that about any prophet, not even about me, not even about you, Godfrey. But he said that of him. And you remember when they were with him on the mountain of transfiguration. I mean, Peter says, we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do will. You do well to heed. What was that prophetic word that has been confirmed that this one is the Messiah? Now, they are still waiting for a Messiah. There's no other Messiah. The Messiah came. He did what he did. And that's why he said, unless you believe that I am he. You see, that word, I am, I think it's a word that really disturbed them. But think about it. No man has ever said, I am the bread of life. I'm the living water. No man has ever said, I was before Abraham was. No one had ever said that. No prophet had ever claimed that. This one said, I am. He said, I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. I am the Zoe. I'm the life of God. Now, here's a revelation. He is the image of the invisible God. Now go through the scriptures I love. John chapter 6. In John 6, he says, no man has ascended to heaven, but he that comes down from heaven. So he's from above, even as John said, he that is from above is above all. And he that is from above comes down from heaven, is the one that has seen the Father. He says, no man has seen the Father, but the only begotten. He's the one that has seen him, who was at the bosom of the Father. That's why his testimony is greater than that of the prophet. And I want to say something, Godfrey. We should not even be deceived by prophets. When we have the revelation, because Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2 says, for God in the olden times spoke to the fathers by the prophets, but has in this last days spoken to us by his son. Now remember, a son is greater than a servant. Moses, Elijah, all of us are servants. This is the son, who is the express image of the person of God. That's why he said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So we have a greater revelation, meaning we're supposed to walk in a greater level of glory than Moses, than Elijah. Because of this, God has spoken to us by his son. So any other prophet that says anything other than what the son said, that contradicts what the son said, is a liar. Now, remember what Yeshua said. He never said, it is written. He said, I say.
I think the problem with us is we are trying to think, imagine this using our own minds. Like, for instance, if he says he's Elohim, if he says he's Yahuwah and he's Yahushua and all that, and here he is, where is the creator of the heavens? as we speak. So I think the problem is our thinking and our minds. We can't really understand this.
This revelation. I think what needs to happen. Firstly, he said, you must believe. Mm. So, and I love what the scripture says, because in Isaiah it says, believe so you may know. But if you read 1 Timothy 2, Paul is using that same notion in Isaiah. He said, so that you may believe and come to know the truth. So you will never know this truth until you first believe what he's saying. Remember, the things he's saying, like I'm saying, God, no man has ever said that. No man has ever said, before Abraham was, I am. That means before Moses was, he was there. And he was hardly what? 33 years old when he said that statement. So you have to first believe, then you can come to know it. But trying to know this by using your mind, it will boggle your mind. Your mind can't wrap itself around this, because this is God himself. You see, so firstly, you are to believe the word, believe what he says, and then you will come to the revelation, you will come to know. That's why he said to those who believed in him, he said, if you continue in my words, then are you my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So you are only going to come to know when you first start by believing. And you have to believe who he says he was. You know, think about the Samaritans. I love them, because the woman went to say, here is a man who has ever told me everything I've ever done. Think about Nathaniel Godfrey. When Philip found Nathaniel, he said, we have found him of whom the prophets have written about and Moses spoke about. We have found him. And when Nathaniel came, he said, they said, where is he from? He said, he's from Nazareth. He said, can there anything good come out of Nazareth? But as soon as he met him, and Yeshua said to him, here is a Nazarene, here is a Jew indeed, in whom there is no God. And he said, how do you know me? He said, I saw you. I saw you when you were sitting under the tree. That's supernatural. That is saying, I am Yahweh Roi. I am the God that sees. And you know what Nathaniel said? Nathaniel said, he said to him, you are the Christ. He believed. So the supernatural manifestation of who he is should cause us to believe. The fact that he rose from the dead should be a point that we take in believing what he said. Everything that he said about himself was true. Everything the scriptures said about him was true. And even after he had risen from the dead, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they still had an opportunity to believe that this man, everything he said about himself was true. You remember, even when he was on the cross, that man said, truly, truly, this was the Son of God. So we have all the evidence to believe, and it has to start there. But I think also, Godfrey, the challenge we have is that we have a church that's no longer preaching him. We are preaching pastors, apostles, prophets. We're not preaching Christ. We're not preaching the Messiah, because that's where it starts. How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? So we have a bunch of preachers who don't have a revelation of him. Galatians chapter 1, Paul says, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb to reveal his son in me, that I may preach him. So you can't preach him if you don't have a revelation of him. So we have a lot of people who've been to Bible school but don't have a revelation of the Messiah, so they can't preach him. I'll never forget when, you know, I was invited by Dr. Mars in Zambia. And he spoke this question. He asked me, he said, Apostle, here's a challenge. I've gone to Oral Roberts. I've been to Bible school. I have degrees. I have a degree in theology. That taught me nothing about God and his kingdom. How can I have a degree in theology that has no revelation of the king and his kingdom? Mm. So you find that people can only teach you what they know.
Absolutely.
You know? And he really challenged me. Dr. Mars really challenged me in that too. That's why we started, you know, a training center for 2 years called the School of the Messiah, which is just about the curriculum of heaven, revealing who God is, his kingdom, his assignment, his agenda.
But thank you very much for your time. And I know that if they need more information, they can simply go to the Global Business Roundtable's website, can they?
Yes, they can go to, if people want to know more, they can go to www.globalbusinessroundtable.com. That will be our website. There you will also find our numbers. You will find the different ministries that are engaged in the Global Business Roundtable. And you'll be blessed. I mean, every day on Thursday, we have our national online session. As I'm talking to you, it's running. I have logged in there. And you'll find different speakers. We deal with the holistic development of people in line with God's purpose for their lives. So it's a platform that will really, really empower the listeners of Radio Pulpit.
Apostle, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the time again. And thank you to your listeners. I just want to say to your listeners, I love them and we miss them. And it's been great to come back to their radios.
Thank you very much, Apostle. Yeah, okay. Apostle Robert Nyalungu right here on Radio Pulpit.
If you need prayer, please send your request to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za or WhatsApp 067-429-7564 or go to Radio Pulpit website on www.radiopulpit.co.za.
Do you want to grow your business sales? Do you know that you can advertise on Radio Pulpit website, The Word for Today magazine, and The Word for You Today magazine at the ridiculously low prices? Yes, you can indeed. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion, offers you the platform to grow your businesses at the best affordable prices. Simply contact me, Godfrey Mwabi, on godfrey@radiopulpit.co.za or call me on 012-334-1265 and I'll tell you how. Remember, I've made it my business to grow your business.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.